WGN, John Williams here. I think I got a good guess on what you're going to serve for Thanksgiving, but I have no idea what you should pour. What would be a nice bottle to bring? What would be a nice one to serve at your own home? Lucky us, Masterclass has launched a new snob-free guide to wine. Emily Wine's new class on Masterclass is up right now. There's a buy one, get one free offer through Thanksgiving at Masterclass. Emily Wine's, the sommelier with an interesting story, joins us now on WGN. Emily, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm excellent.
I saw that you were in that movie Somme.
I was.
What a fascinating documentary about being a sommelier. The idea that you would be blind tested to know a particular kind of wine sounds terrifying to me. Maybe not terrifying because I wouldn't do that job, but I mean intimidating. Were you nervous when you're actually trying to become a master sommelier?
Absolutely. It was a really long process, and there's multiple parts to the examination, but that blind tasting exam is pretty challenging. The good news is that the way you practice for that exam is to taste a lot of wine. Luckily, I enjoy doing that.
You were one of only 15 master sommeliers to ever pass the test on the first try. You're a James Beard finalist. Do you think some people have a better nose for wine, like some people are gifted athletes? Do you think you are a gifted smeller taster?
Not necessarily. Honestly, I think that learning how to talk about wine is like learning a language. It's over time you start to recognize different flavors, and then with a lot of study, you start to recognize how those flavors match up with the different wines of the world, which is what the blind tasting examination is all about.
Yeah. So what advice do you have for us here? A layman's guide to wine. I do want to ask you about specific, you know, labels and price points. But before we do that, just kind of give me an overview of what you would say.
Well, you know, first of all, I think a lot of people are really intimidated by wine. There's so much information, and I think people are afraid to look like they don't know what they're doing when it comes to wine. But I always say that if you know what you like, that already makes you an expert. A master sommelier can't tell you what you do and don't like. And once you understand what kind of wines you do like, it can help you better understand what other wines you might enjoy.
I get that. But my problem is I'll be at somebody's house or at a restaurant. I'll go, oh, I really like this wine. I don't know how to shop for it because when I go to the liquor store, they got all these bottles of wine, but I don't know what those wines taste like. I just remember what this one tasted like, you know?
Oh, completely. I recommend, first of all, sort of building a language around what it is that you like about it. Do you like it because it's fruity, because it's earthy, is it full-bodied? And again, once you start to develop that language, it can help you describe to somebody in a wine shop what else you might like. You can also look at the little shelf talkers in a retail shop and often pick up some clues in that you'll start to learn things like if it's a white wine that was really creamy and sort of toasty flavored, you might look at the tag and see some notes about how it's aged in oak barrels and how it has toasty, creamy flavors. And you go, aha, that's the one I like.
Does that work usually?
That generally is a really good place to start. The other thing that's really helpful is once you start recognizing the grape varieties that you like, you know, if you find a Cabernet that you like, try other Cabernet Sauvignons. There's some differences between them, certainly, but you'll start to recognize stylistically just with that one grape that maybe you like Cabernets that come from warmer places like California or maybe cooler places like the Bordeaux region of France.
Is it regarded, though, that some places, some countries, say, make better wine than others? I know my taste is the right answer, but is it generally understood that some places are better at some kinds of wine than others?
Well, certainly some countries are better at making specific types of wine. For example, Germany is very famous for Riesling, and there's great Rieslings from there. Great Rieslings in other places as well, but you do find certain countries that are very famous for specific types of wine. As far as what countries make better wine than others, there's great wine to be found everywhere. So that's the good news. And the world of wine just continues to expand with new regions coming out with wines that are quite fantastic.
Is California good at one thing particularly?
California is a big state, so it kind of depends on where you're looking. California is good at making generally pretty fruit-driven wines, bigger, bolder in style. There's definitely some exceptions to that. California is very good and very famous for its Cabernet and Zinfandel, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir. Those are some of the big ones, but there's a lot of other hidden gems to be found as well.
You say there's the five S's to wine tasting. Can you walk me through that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you start out by the sight, seeing the wine, looking at the wine. And because we do drink with our eyes, there's certain great things you see, especially if you're looking at something like sparkling wines. The bubbles are part of what makes that wine so great. Then the next part is to swirl the wine. And by swirling the wine, you aerate it and you're swirling it around the glass. And that helps you smell it because it's also really helping to sort of fluff up the wine or introduce some air and release the aromatics. And so when you're sniffing the wine, you're picking up all those incredible aromas of fruit smells and earth smells, herbs, flowers, toasty smells from the oak barrel aging, if that's in fact happened to that wine. And then the real good one is, of course, sipping. So tasting the wine and tasting for the things that you can't smell. Things like sugar and the temperature and acidity, tannin, alcohol, these are things that really show up more when you taste it and really round out the wine, bringing in the structural elements. So those are really the key five things. There's also, in the sommelier business, unfortunately, there's a sixth S, and that is spitting, because when we're having to do a lot of work with wine, we can't swallow them all.
I understand that. You also missed one, though, savor. So you have sight, swirl, smell, sip, savor, and then in your business, spit. Go back to the swirl for a second. Is there any science to, or what do I need to know about the legs of the wine and the way it rolls back down the edge of the glass?
Yes, you know, the legs are something that really, it tends to be kind of misunderstood. When you're swirling a wine and you see the wine sort of splashing up the side of the glass, as the wine rolls back down it, you'll see sometimes these really long tears. And that really is an indicator of how much alcohol or how much sugar is in the wine. It doesn't really tell you anything about the quality. So sometimes people swirl a glass and they're like, wow, this wine's got such great legs, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a better or a lesser wine. If it's just got very thick legs, it's probably higher in alcohol.
So when my brother does that, I'll turn to my wife and go, he didn't know what he's talking about. That just is
exactly
the thing about the thing. Okay, let's just talk about some specific vineyards or labels. Like if I'm at the store, what might I see and what price points can you recommend? Be as specific as you can. In just a minute, we are talking about wine for your holidays. Maybe you've got a question too. There is a master class with the Snob Free Guide to Wine, Emily Wine's new class on Masterclass. They have a buy one, get one free offer on that website, in fact. We're sort of talking about the business of wine here. Master Sommelier Emily Wines from Masterclass.com is on the line. We're talking a little bit about how to shop for wine. By the way, I've got some text messages I want to read to you, Emily, but what's a wine you like? Like if I was coming to your house, what would you be pouring right now?
Well, you know, being Thanksgiving week, for me, it's all about kind of those great wines that go with Thanksgiving dinner. And you know, one of the things that I really love with turkey dinner in particular is Pinot Noir. And Pinot Noirs from Oregon are fantastic. It just so happens that I've got a bottle of Domaine Druin Pinot Noir open right now I'm getting ready for tonight's dinner.
I'm writing this down. Oregon Pinot Noir. What was that? Jermaine Rome. Who is that guy here? Did you remember?
Domaine Druhan, Druhin. Very famous producer up there in Oregon, the Willamette Valley. You have Pinot Noirs that have lots of cranberry flavors, which really have a natural affinity for turkey.
It seems to make sense. Domaine Druhan. And then what's a bottle of that going to run me?
That'll probably run you about $30.
Can you just walk me through some names and price points? I mean, I think that a lot of us look at the price point that we're interested in, then we see what's the most interesting label on the bottle, and then we go, I'll try this. Can you just give me some names, labels, and numbers?
Sure. I mean, these are going to be pretty loose off the top of my head here, but I would say, I'll give you some suggestions for different parts of what your Thanksgiving dinner might be.
Okay.
Now, to start out with, I recommend going with wines with a lot of acidity. They're really mouth-watering, refreshing. So this is what you're going to be drinking maybe while you're cooking, or maybe while you're like waiting for the dinner to start, you're snacking on some celery sticks and you're drinking something like sparkling wine. And again, being Thanksgiving, great all-American holiday, I'm going to recommend a lot of American wines today. So I'd recommend starting out with something like Schramsberg sparkling wine from California. Really great champagne style wines that are really quite delicious and very mouthwatering. And those can also be in that $25 to $35 range, depending on which cuvée you go for. Another thing you could do is something like Sauvignon Blanc. Again, really mouthwatering, super, super fresh and juicy, very citrusy. There's a great one from a producer called Sea Glass down in Santa Barbara. And those are pretty inexpensive. Those are between $10 and $15 a bottle.
That's nice to know.
Then,
keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me one more.
So then so another one I'd recommend is if you want to do something a little bit bigger and bolder with your turkey, something bigger than Pinot Noir, go for Zinfandel. Even though this is a grape that didn't originate in America, the Zinfandel style is super all-American, and those wines can be fabulous. There's a lot of really big, bold ones out there. But I really like the ones that come from a winery called Ridge. These tend to be really balanced, very good with food. Gorgeous Zinfandels, predominantly coming from the Sonoma area, and that'll set you back about $35, $40.
So I wonder what people make of that. I mean, do you think there's good wine at $12 to $15 a bottle? Or if I really do want to have something just a little more sophisticated, something a little more appreciative, maybe I need to embrace $20 and more.
You know, there's good wines to be found at every price point. I will say that as you go down, especially like if you're looking at, you know, $5 bottles of wine, go for the white wines. They, you know, simpler white wines tend to be pretty easy to make at a lower price point. Reds can sometimes be trickier, but there's some good finds out there too. But you can find some really good, inexpensive values from Spain, from Portugal. Those are great places to go to for surprisingly great deals. And if you're feeling like a little bit of a splurge, of course, there's a lot of options at that higher price point as well.
But you know what? I had some fancy wine people coming over to our house the other day, and I kind of panicked because they don't drink cocktails, and I wanted to serve them something nice. So I went and spent money. I bought two $60 bottles of wine. I didn't like them at all. I liked the $18 bottle we had better.
See, there you go. You don't have to spend a lot of money to find a great wine.
You're the master sommelier for Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurants, right?
I am indeed.
Any recommendation from that place? Because I can buy that retail there, right?
You absolutely can, and there's a lot of wines I'd recommend from Cooper's Hawk. One in particular, like I mentioned, Pinot Noir, great for Thanksgiving dinner. We make a Luxe Pinot Noir that is around $35. It's absolutely stunning. It's coming from the central coast of California. It's going to give you all those flavors you want for Thanksgiving. And another one that's really popular for our wine club members at Thanksgiving is our Gewürztraminer, which is a little bit fruitier and softer. That's around $18-$20. And that wine is, that fruitier flavor works really nicely with some of the fruity flavors you get at Thanksgiving dinner, like Waldorf salad or sweet potatoes and such.
Hey, John Williams, if you like a bottle of wine at a restaurant, take a picture of the bottle. I do that sometimes, and then I lose it in my pictures somehow. 847 also said, John, I use the Homer Simpson method. I'll have a bottle of your second least expensive wine. I don't think that's such a crazy idea. I was at a wine tasting and there was a really nice wine I liked. It was like $100 a bottle or something. I thought, I'm not buying that. But then I thought, maybe if I liked it at $100, I'll bet I'll like it at, I don't know, $50 or $25 or $20. Do you think there's some logic to that?
Absolutely. And you know, the reason for that is usually that most expensive bottle, it's absolutely the best fruit that makes the cut for that wine. And everything that doesn't make the cut then goes into the next most expensive wine. So it's sort of like a baby version of their grandest wine, and that's often pretty good.
Hey, John Williams, for the average American wine consumer, $15 a bottle, does your sommelier have a favorite wine at $15 a bottle?
Oh, goodness. There's just so many. It's so broad, but one, something I actually just recently had that was just so great and pretty inexpensive is Montepulciano di Abruzzo. I know that's a mouthful. It's an Italian wine.
Why are you doing this to me? I'm trying to write down the names of these wines, and I can't spell Montepulciano. Keep going. It's good.
Yeah, so Montepulciano, they're really inexpensive. They're really juicy. They're what I call friendly wines because they're just easy drinking, and they're juicy, and they're easy to understand, and they go with a lot of food, and it's fun to say.
Nice to hear that. And you said that's an Italian wine?
That's an Italian wine.
Okay. I'm out of time, but this has been helpful. I've got a bunch of notes in front of me. I'm going to follow up. We'll post this conversation as a podcast at WGNradio.com. And remember, Emily Wine's new class on Masterclass is at Masterclass.com. Emily, it's really nice to talk to you. Thank you for giving us some of your expertise today.